When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
This is Culture Club HTX on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Lisa Holland-Nelson and Shavonna Robert-Schreiber.
Hello, I'm Lisa Holland-Nelson Bowman Lombardi.
We're standing.
Yeah, and we're standing today. We're really excited. Don't we look better if you're watching us on YouTube? We need you to let us know that. But that being said, I am... What am I? The fashionista, bio babe, Coach Nelson, co-host of Culture Club HTX, here with my beautiful, black, bold, bossy, blessed, that's enough.
Co-host and executive producer, Shavonna Robert-Schreiber of Culture Club HTX, and also the eighth wonder of the world, and we're in sports.
We're in sports.
Coach Nelson's corner, which may
change to the Will Anderson Jr. corner. Because he's playing so well.
Does he know this yet?
I haven't asked, but it doesn't matter. No. I know. I mean, we can't give it back to CJ yet because CJ's better, but he is not Will Anderson. I mean, Will Anderson is blowing and going, and our defense really saved the day last week, even though everybody played well.
I disagree with that.
26-15. No, they didn't. I said the whole time I was nervous.
She said,
you guys, Culture Club HTX sports crew was in the house for the game last week, and two of them, of the three, kept saying, we're going to win this. One of them, I don't know. I was very
Rusty,
nervous.
Rusty, our football husband, was like so confident. Lovely, you were very nervous. I was neutral, which is probably on brand for us.
Probably on neutral.
So I think we've been playing so terribly that
A great improvement on
a great improvement. I will give you that. It was a great improvement.
Yeah, it wasn't a runaway game.
It was kind of nail biting.
Yeah, it was nail biting. Especially because the other team decided not to play.
When they did
play, they kept making touchdowns.
Well, or what happened is actually then they moved the ball so quick, like three possessions, and they were like in the red zone.
I'm like, 7 and 8. They scored a 2-point.
Yeah, and this one, she starts stress eating popcorn. So I had one serving. Usually we split it. Rest, 1.5.
I refilled a little.
And she was
Rusty had some too.
Okay. The point is, we had a little bit, and she had a gallon of popcorn. Out of stress, I was afraid to stop her because I was like, okay, she's in a zone. Anyway.
Not only was I stress eating, I was shoveling it in my mouth. I wasn't eating a piece at a time. You know, it was like a great big fistful all at once.
I just kept looking at her like, I wanted to say something. I was like, don't say anything. Don't say anything.
No.
Anyway,
no.
So hopefully today we'll win again.
And the Longhorns eked it out too. So, yes. So today, and unfortunately, guys, you won't see us there, but Rusty and his real wife, Sue, are going in there taking
Reluctantly,
friends.
She's going. She told me the other day, when she came to the salon, she was like, it's a whole day affair.
And, I know.
It's not her thing. Thank you, Sue. All right, what's going on with the NBA?
Well, kind of exciting stuff. There was a conference here, and you know, I knew about this conference because I read Joy Sewing's column.
Oh, on Afrotech.
Afrotech. So Afrotech, the NBA teams with Afrotech and Amazon showcase tech and celebrate Houston. For the fourth year running, the NBA is at the Afrotech conference in Houston, blending basketball, culture, and technology in an event that draws black tech professionals. Supported by Amazon Web Services, they are spotlighting cutting-edge broadcast tech and lifting Houston's community through mentorship and student opportunities. So this is great.
Obviously, as tech as you, being someone who's in the tech business, super awesome. Also, the thing that I think that the NBA is doing that's such a great idea. You know, the NBA Foundation doesn't get enough press. They actually do
good
work.
And honestly,
they actually do more work than the NBA. I mean,
and our NBA players are incredibly generous.
Yes. Yeah, so the foundation, they sponsor 100 Houston college students from University of Houston, Prairie View, A&M, Rice, and Texas Southern for all these events and networks. Obviously, it's a conference you have to pay to go. Right. So the NBA Foundation sponsored 100 students. That's a lot. That's a lot of students to go and participate.
Yeah, that is a lot.
So fantastic. Shout out to the NBA for continuing to support the local community, the NBA Foundation, and to your point, to our players for being so hospitable
and generous.
And philanthropic. Yeah, okay, so what else are Rockets doing?
Yay.
Basketball
after a
boys,
tough
man.
0-2 start, the Rockets rolled over the Nets 137-109.
You would think she watched that
at
game
Toyota
by the way,
Center
she just read that
on
magical.
October 27th.
What actually happened?
Monero
played really well.
Oh, did you watch the game?
I did not, but Tari Eason is my guy.
This lady.
I mean, I'm
magical.
Excited about Kevin Durant.
Can we get
Tari
real commentary?
Eason is like, my baby.
Well, they also won last night against the Raptors, 139-121 at the time of this recording.
Yes. So
they're 2-2. They have done well on offense.
2-2 doesn't sound good. That sounds 50%.
It's 500, which is
fourth game.
This is
yeah,
not
it's
baseball.
Fourth game.
This is a long season.
It's a long season. 82 games. It takes a while. So after a tough 0-2 start, as it's noted, they have bounced back against the Nets and the Raptors. The Nets, not good, but it's one of those things where we talked about it with the Texans against the Ravens a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. You took care of business over a team that's not as good as you. They showed that. Same with the Raptors. Raptors are going to be a tough team, I think, in the East, and they did well. They still need work in their ball movement. Mm-hmm. And defensively, there's still some questions there, especially when it comes to Reed Shepherd. But
yes,
for now, they're doing well. I think there's some other things in terms of the point guard position that we still need to work out with Amin Thompson and Reed Shepherd sharing that load. Mm-hmm. But when you get the two-man game going with Kevin Durant and Alperen Şengün, phenomenal. It's going really well.
How long has Şengün played?
This is his fourth or fifth.
Okay.
So, and he had a strong summer this year with the EuroBasket,
EuroLeague. Mm-hmm.
So he's been really shining, and he's going to only get better as the season progresses. And as they learn how to play together, that's the thing, is
their
learning
chemistry and rhythm,
understanding how to get Kevin Durant the ball, because Kevin Durant is your closer. That's one thing you did not have and you could not depend on with, sadly, Jalen Green or somebody like that. You have that with Kevin Durant, who scored 7 straight points in the final 4 minutes of that game last night.
And you know what else? Kevin Durant is a known champion. I mean, he's already won championships. So I think that matters from a mindset standpoint. Mm-hmm. When you've already won a championship, you know how to win, like to win the whole thing. Not to win a game, mm-hmm. but to literally win a championship.
And his style of play is great for Jabari Smith Jr. to learn from. Jabari had a phenomenal game, a 25-5-5 game last night.
Okay.
Strong performance. I believe no turnovers as well, which if you take care of the ball, even better.
Right.
So learning from Kevin Durant is going to benefit Jabari so much. And
for sure,
if Alperen and Kevin Durant are getting double teamed or whatever the case, Jabari showcasing that shows he can step up in big moments, as well as guys like Tari Eason, who's done well in the last couple
of
games.
You mean her baby?
Yeah, her baby,
well,
Tari Eason.
Kevin Durant needs to go talk to CJ and the Texans about taking care of the ball.
Really
all of it's a ball,
thing.
Right? Don't turn over the ball. Because you were going on about the penalties of the Texans, just to go back to him for 1 second. I mean, still
twice
like,
as many. As
yeah,
the
I mean, so the idea of taking care of the ball, no matter what sport, if it has a ball and you take care of it, you're probably going to win. Or come out fair.
Yeah, well,
right?
Yeah.
Turnovers are one of the biggest things, obviously, one of the biggest things in sports.
And you know what turnovers are? You making your own mistakes. See, that's the thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes someone steals it, but usually it's you. It's things that you can
Well, we're really good at it.
There was a play last night where Amin Thompson threw the ball to Kevin Durant so hard that it was like, whoa, you don't have to throw it to me that hard for something like that.
Did Kevin Durant roll his eyes like I did earlier? Like,
there was a hot mic moment where it was like, man, you throw some mustard on that ball. You didn't have to do all that.
That's funny.
But,
okay.
Yeah. They're doing
so,
well, though.
We'll stay tuned.
Yeah, we'll stay tuned.
We're bouncing back. Bouncing back. You see what he did there? Basketball.
Yeah. Pun intended.
We're going to bounce back. Okay. Now,
we have
favorite.
Time for our last story.
Yeah, I want you to
College,
talk about this.
Yay. Cody Campbell drives Texas
Tech. You say
Tech's
yay.
$27
million
NIL revolution and athletic rise. The big picture, here it is. Cody Campbell, billionaire oil man, former Texas Tech player, and newly elected chairman of the Texas Tech University System Board of Regents, is spearheading a transformative era for the Red Raiders athletics, pouring $27 million into football NIL deals, building world-class facilities, and unifying leadership to push Texas Tech to the forefront of college sports.
What's your commentary, Lovely?
My commentary is, don't ask why. I've just always thought Texas Tech was great. You know what I mean?
This is
there
BS.
Was.
Can you
I
say
always
BS?
Have. No. Can, I mean,
okay, you
I,
went from
not
that
great as a school, but I'm just saying, like, I'm not talking about the NIL stuff. There's
that's
something
the story.
About,
that's well, what I wanted.
Yeah, but there's something cool about Texas Tech, so I'm glad that they're getting their.
Oh,
own.
Was if it were A&M, would we be saying
no?
That?
We would not like this at all. We'd be so
okay.
Upset.
So what's so cool about Texas Tech?
I don't know. I Mahomes went there.
Exactly. Exactly. I'm like, I'm just waiting for it. Wait, look.
My man, you know, yeah, what can you, I say? And
you know,
he,
is he elegant?
Really playing.
Is
well.
He elegant?
He's gotten elegant. And he's okay. Got Travis Kelce.
We got to go to a break because she's I mean, back on the elegant. Look at her face. Look at your face.
I'm just
you
like,
get all demure and you start getting all like.
I just think he's a great guy.
My oh friend. My God,
I do, and I'm happy that he went to Tech and he's
happy
so
he went
generous.
To Tech. Uh-huh. Okay, no. We're gonna take
so
a
he's
break.
Got help with Cody Campbell. Thank you, whoever you are. Cody
so we
Campbell.
Don't care about name, image, likeness.
No, what are we gonna do about it? What are we supposed to do? Keep arguing against.
No, I'm just asking what your
these
thoughts are.
These guys making a little money.
let's double click on that.
I think we've been playing. I think we've been paying them to play for years. I think now they're
of course.
Just, it's, everybody knows about
but
it.
You, but you're also the same person who said, can't we just have fun back in sports? All the fun's going out of sports because name, image, likeness. Am I lying, Mike?
Yeah. Okay. Oh, and I don't disagree.
So which is it?
What can I do about it?
All right, we're going to take a break.
And I love you, Patrick.
Oh,
Mahomes.
My God. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back with what we can do about it in our next segment.
Yeah, either community or fashion. Which one?
Or maybe business. I don't know. All right.
Okay.
We'll be back.
Bye.
At Culture Club HTX, you know we want you to stay fabulous, which is why we've teamed up with Dr. Michael J. Streitman at Westlake Dermatology and Cosmetic Surgery. Dr. Streitman prides himself on delivering the gold standard of care to his clients. He's board certified and performs surgery in the private surgical suite at Westlake, as well as provides non-invasive services like Botox and fillers. If you're ready to receive the gold standard of care, make an appointment with Dr. Streitman today at westlakedermatology.com. And be sure to mention that Culture Club HTX sent you for a special treat.
You're listening to Culture Club HTX on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now it's time to talk some business with Lisa Holland Nelson and Shavonna Robert Schreiber inside the Huntington Bank Studios.
I like it. And we're back.
You,
I'm Lisa Holland Nelson Bowman.
Oh, that's the business
Lombardi.
Voice.
That's a yeah. Business voice. Even though I'm what? The fashionista,
co-host,
bio babe,
biology?
Coach Nelson.
Is it biology?
Yeah. Here with my beautiful, bold, black, blessed bestie. I almost said brilliant, but hey, you know, I can't get so overboard.
Shavonna Robert Schreiber, the executive producer and co-host of Culture Club HTX, the parliamentarian of this show and the eighth wonder of the world.
She thinks that she's the parliamentarian, but we all know nobody really controls me. Ha! So,
Magical,
we're into
cut the
another
mic.
One of my very
Pull
favorite
the mic.
segments, business.
We and know, because your business voice is on.
My business voice is on, and we've got a lot of business news. And the first was a breaking news this week.
Yes.
NVIDIA is the first public company to reach a $5 trillion, with a T, $5 trillion valuation.
Remember when things were millions? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I do. And I even remember when things were billions. And I also remember that Elon Musk hasn't gotten here yet. So NVIDIA is the first ever company.
Do you think Elon is like calling BS on this valuation?
No, I think he's trying to figure out how to get there.
You know, valuations are very interesting because, well, you know, sometimes it's like.
Shareholder value. There you go.
There, anyway,
really
so that is very interesting.
But anyway, that's a big deal. And the other thing I just want to say before we get into the meat of this is something that we brought up last week. We were talking about the effect of AI.
Yes.
On search engines. So now there is truly AEO, you know, which is AI. Search engine optimization, you know, and
Magical shakes his head.
And search engine optimization.
And disapproval.
My company, astounds.com, A-S-T-O-U-N-D-Z.
Also an A.
Has published an incredible blog on it. And you can see it on our.
Did you write the blog?
No, actually, Heather Miller wrote the blog.
Heather, oh, good.
Yeah, Heather wrote the blog. And it's really great because the state of search conference was this last week.
Oh,
it was
right.
All about artificial intelligence and the way it's affecting online. And so basically one of the board directors of State of Search published a really interesting article, but it still was a little more technical than we wanted it to
Steve
be.
Steve is going to be on.
Steve's
going to
be on next week, and he's going to be talking
Can
about
Heather
all
this. Can
Heather
come with him, maybe?
Maybe. Maybe yeah. Heather could, but also, if you have any questions for him, please, you know, email us at info@cultureclub.com because he's going to talk about, I mean, these are major changes. Like, there's some major stuff happening in the way the search is happening, what it's looking for. I mean, a lot of the stuff that's always been there is always going to be there, but there's some new things that you really need to understand, and I'm very happy because they're very focused on somebody like me.
What do you mean?
They are simple, straightforward, and quick. Like, well, you know, I don't have time for all this searching stuff or diving deep.
Who is the they that we speak of? Who is the they? Who are you talking about?
AI.
AI agents?
Yeah.
The agents?
Yeah.
Okay.
The whatever it's
called. Okay.
So next.
Speaking of AI, Apple ships Houston-made AI servers nationwide with more expansion coming.
Isn't that exciting? Apple's new Houston factory is up and running. Yay. Already shipping AI servers across the U.S. and planning bigger moves next year. Houston becomes ground zero for Apple's tech push, and it's got the jobs and investment to prove it.
Well, we shall see.
Yeah.
We shall see.
It's exciting. They built a huge facility, 250,000 square feet.
Foxconn is their local partner, and they've invested $450 million, and they plan to expand the site and boost output in 2026. So that means thousands of jobs. So if you are looking for a job in this space, so you know we have a new program at Rice, the first bachelor's degree in artificial intelligence.
Yes.
So kids, go get internships at this place.
And Rice announced a new institute today, by the way.
Oh, what did they announce?
The Institute of Brain Research, which is incredible because we've been talking about, Alzheimer's on this show. But so I think brain research along with artificial intelligence is just kind of blowing up right now.
You know what is interesting? And you know, you, the demographer.
Yes.
It's because of you, your generation. So like, your generation, it's interesting because I think it's more of you because there were more of you
born.
We're
the largest group ever.
Yeah, and so I feel like a lot of the things that are happening now, and whether, you know, commercialization of different technologies, et cetera, are in response to, and so smart, right? Smart, like, okay, how do we service this big, huge swath
that
of our population?
Has never stopped shopping.
Uh-huh.
Okay,
that's living longer, healthier, fuller
all
lives.
The things,
yeah,
all the things. And so, and wants to take care of ourselves.
Yeah, that's great. I think it's great. I think it's really, like, when you think about it from a marketing and a market opportunity standpoint, it actually makes a lot of sense. Because if you, I've just, now when you said that, I'm like, you know what, this is a trend.
And the other big opportunity in business is elder care. Nursing homes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hate to say all that, but hello.
I have
keeping
a
us healthy and where
I
do we live?
I have a wonder if they'll, the term nursing home, will that
it'll
go
disappear.
Away and it'll be something else?
Senior living has already become senior living.
And then I even think, is the term senior going to have the same? You know what
I
mean?
Well, I don't. You know, when somebody says to me, I'm a senior, I look at them like, who are you talking about? But demographically, I guess I'm a senior.
You guess?
Yeah,
okay.
I guess. I am not a senior.
Well, what are you then?
Okay. I'm a boomer.
Okay. My point is, I think, but to your point, I do.
On the early end of the boomers.
Oh, God, here we are. I think that's the point, though. I think the language around these things was
starting
to change.
I told you I'm a millennial, which is a boomer millennial. A boo-lineal. Boomer.
Do you see the eye roll?
Hey, you roll your eyes. I'm a demographer. I mean, I don't act so differently than my daughter, other than I bring her all this crap she doesn't want. You know, all the jokes about boomer moms.
Okay.
I'll pack it and get there and think, what have I done?
Okay, so let's move forward to deep tech startups that fuel the future of innovation.
I had to look up what deep tech was.
Exactly, because she's a millennial. Anyway,
you know what deep tech is?
Yeah. Houston's top deep tech startups, not millennials, clearly, aren't just solving tough problems. They're reshaping energy, space, safety, and robotics.
So deep tech is technology that reshapes the future.
Okay. So anyway, some points that you should know.
Please take it away.
Yeah.
We're laughing too hard to talk.
So as I mentioned, as I was trying to say before y'all start cutting up, this is the parliamentarian laying down the gavel. So yeah, so from AI-powered corrosion detection to life-saving drone technology, it's all this innovation that continues to keep us. We're talking about being on the cutting edge, creating jobs. So we in Houston, I really do believe, which is something that I don't think people were expecting. I think for many years, people thought Austin was the tech of, you know, whether it's deep tech, light tech, period tech. And I think that's shifting and that's changing. And I think it's for some of what we were just talking about. One, the industries that we do have here, energy, healthcare.
And we have Rice University.
And we have Rice University.
Absolutely game changing.
So anyway, I mean, I think it's very exciting. Millennial. Are you going to, you know what we need to do? We need to get with the Kinder Institute.
Yeah, they need to tag me as a millennial.
They need to have you create a focus group of other millennials, which is going to be N equals two. Lovely, and whoever else you convince to say that they're a millennial.
Your mother, maybe.
Yeah, probably, in this focus group. This focus group, N equals two people. But one of us is a demographer, so we have the inside track on the entire generation. Maybe.
I think I do. I've been predicting stuff, and it hasn't been wrong for thousands of years already.
Are you a vampire millennial for thousands of years?
Well, my mother said before anybody else in the whole world, we were all wearing black suede loafers. I bought thick socks and had them stand up. Then I took it all off and bought brown Weegans. Nobody knows why. I was like 10 years old. No one else thought about it.
You know why?
Because
you were cutting edge.
I was
millennial before millennial became a thing. You were already there. The bleeding edge. Not just cut. You're the bleeding edge of innovation, friend.
Anybody who's listening to this, since we're in the business segment, I do want to tell you that Astounds delivers great product on time as promised, and it's not cutting edge. We are absolutely solid. We're not going to do anything.
You're not going to cut the edge or bleed the edge?
We're not going to bleed the edge. We're not going to do it wrong. We're solid. And I must say that because Steve Winter always says he doesn't really want to be first with something.
You don't want to bleed the edge or lead the edge or cut the edge.
No, he wants the edge in place.
You want to keep the edges. If we keep our edges in place at Astounds. Okay, and with that, we need to take a break.
Yeah, we'll be back.
Bye.
Are you a business owner and looking for a fun and low-cost way to advertise? Yes? Super! You should join our Culture Club HTX crew. Visit us at cultureclubhtx.com and click on Culture Club HTX crew or send us an email at connect@cultureclubhtx. You'll be happy you did.
Culture Club HTX continues on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Lisa Holland-Nelson and Shavonna Robert-Schreiber to talk some community, because we care about the community.
And we're back. I'm Lisa Holland-Nelson, Bowman Lombardi, fashionista. What are all these things? Bio babe.
Co-host. Who are you?
Nelson, co-host, here with my beautiful, black, bold, bossy.
Oh, whatever.
That's what I forgot. Bestie.
Shavonna Robert-Schreiber, the other half of Culture Club HTX, the executive producer in the Eighth Wonder of the World.
As you are.
You gave me that name. That's like the best. That's your best yet. Thank you.
You are the Eighth Wonder because you write eight on the eighth.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Thank you.
And it's full of great advice for everyone. On the eighth of every month, everyone. Check it out on LinkedIn.
So what segment are we in?
We are in community.
And is that your favorite?
It is. Oh, they're all my favorite. You know that. But I am kind of a community player, as they say.
Okay. That's a new one.
That's a new one. We could add
community. Yeah, community player.
But we're going to talk about our guests.
Yes.
If I may.
Please, bio babe.
Of course, I have something personal to add to this. But after I do the introduction.
Here we go.
Liz Gorman is here with us. And since February 2022, Liz has served with the Alzheimer's Association Houston and Southeast Texas chapter, powering the Do What You Love to End ALZ, Alzheimer's abbreviation, initiative, helping supporters turn their passions into fundraising for Alzheimer awareness care and research. And Mike McGuff, welcome, Mike.
Thank you.
Volunteer executive chair of Do What You Love to End ALZ and board member of the Alzheimer's Association Houston and Southeast Texas. Mike is also a two-time Lone Star Emmy winner, creator, producer of the TIFA award-winning film Runaway Radio.
Wait a minute.
Wow, how cool is that?
Magical,
An advocate
Mike?
In the fight against Alzheimer's.
All right.
driven by personal loss. So before we start your questions, I just have to say, in case you don't know, which the whole world does know,
what?
I'm the chair of the board of the American Cancer Society.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And when I accepted it, I have a very good friend whose mother has Alzheimer's. And so my friend called me to say, congratulations, are you going to cure cancer now? And I said, of course I am. 6 months later, when they her mother was getting worse, she called me and said, could you just hurry up curing cancer so we could get you to Alzheimer's?
Seriously.
Right?
We'd love to have you.
The biggest mouth in America. I know. I mean,
add
however,
that to your bio.
I know. Big mouth. That
yeah,
go.
We can add
okay,
that.
So we're excited to have you.
Thank you.
Thank you
Yeah,
so
thank
much
you both for being here.
We're excited as well.
So I guess both of you, our first question is a little bit about your journey. So lovely mention yours, Liz, that in 2022 you started. But Mike, what about you? So tell us.
Well, unfortunately, I'm going to have a tragic story. My mom developed younger onset Alzheimer's at age 53. You know, I was in my early 20s, still right out of school. And so that was something that at the time I really couldn't even believe that was the diagnosis. I had never heard of this. This was 1999 and not something that was really on the radar, I don't think. And so, but it did indeed prove to be true. So I had to move back to Houston and move back into the room, you know, that I grew up in and take care of her. And she died at age 58. It was very fast moving. And, you know, there was this is pre-internet, really. And there were it was a struggle to figure out what to do at that point.
And I want to ask a question that's not exactly in here, but do you die of Alzheimer's or complications from other diseases while you have it?
No, that's a great question.
You die with Alzheimer's. It's and certainly complications arise because you stop eating. You stop knowing, you know, how to live, really.
So accidents and things like that.
Yeah, so
that's
good to know. Yes.
My grandfather broke his hip when he had
Alzheimer's.
Yeah,
that's what happened to my closest friend.
That was it.
Yeah.
So speaking of, for listeners who may not be familiar, can you either of you tell us a little bit more about the disease and why it's so important here in Texas?
Sure, yeah. It's a progressive brain disease that affects memory, thinking, behavior. It's affecting over 7 million Americans right now, and over 450,000 Texans. We are slated in 2 to 5 years to become the oldest state in the nation, which will increase our numbers.
I thought we were the youngest state. There you go. Houston may have some of the youngest populations, but by the state, I think you're right. Remember,
yeah,
we learned
and then of
this?
Course we're a very diverse state, and Alzheimer's adversely affects African Americans and Hispanic Americans. And this is
more
why,
than anyone else.
Oh, absolutely.
Most
Hispanic Americans are 1.5 times more likely than whites, and Black Americans
that.
Are twice as likely. Two thirds of people living with Alzheimer's are women. So it's very complicated but upsetting too.
Can you prevent this disease?
Yes.
Okay.
There are preventative measures that we can take. It doesn't guarantee anything, but we were Houston was a big hub for a U.S. Pointer study where they followed people for 3 years, I think, just to sort of further pinpoint what we can do. Diet is a huge one, of course, and exercise,
right? Of course,
using your brain. These things that we all know, but we're gonna get, you know, we're getting some more specific ways that we can do it, like the
That's
mind
good.
Diet, for example.
Okay. Very good to know. I mean, very good. I get stuff all the time about.
And it's never too late. It's never too early to start exercising and to, you know, improve your brain health.
So let's talk about some of the programs and support groups that you have in Houston in particular.
Yeah.
To help people, one, get more information as they are trying to help loved ones and friends navigate this landscape.
Yeah, the Alzheimer's Association, our chapter is Houston, Southeast Texas, so we cover a lot of territory.
Yes.
We offer free support groups for caregivers and for those living with dementia. We offer free educational programs, so if you're interested in one of our community educators who are well-trained on all the subjects to come and speak on brain health, warning signs, tips for caregivers. We can come to your business. We can come to your church. We can come to your event.
Must be so busy.
For a free education. Yeah. So we ask that people schedule those a month out so we can find a volunteer. We have our 24/7 hotline that can help to further pinpoint what families need locally.
Wow.
Yeah. And all these are available on our website.
I was going to say, so how do people find out about this? So if someone's listening, mm-hmm. they're like, okay, how do I find out this information?
ALZ.org/Texas. And you can go and donate. You can look at volunteer opportunities. And you can, you know, use our search engine to type in any subject, really. Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. What's Alzheimer's versus dementia, for
example. Well, Parkinson's sort of ends at dementia, doesn't it? Like, that's sort of the last phase, from what I understand.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And a large percentage of Parkinson's patients will develop dementia. Hmm. And that's why Prop 14 is covering that in the research.
So let's talk about Prop 14.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Prop 14, also called DPRIT. It's the
Dementia Prevention
Institute.
Dementia Prevention, there's an R in there.
Research Institute of Texas.
I know CPRIT, so I just did CPRIT.
Yes, yes. And CPRIT was the cancer version. Yeah. And it brought a lot of top researchers to Texas.
It did.
And really put Texas on the map for cancer research. So it's going to dedicate, if approved by the voters, it's going to dedicate $3 billion to be spent over the next 10 years. It comes from the budget surplus to research Alzheimer's, dementia, and Parkinson's disease.
Well, we hope it is approved. I can say that.
Right? Yeah, yes. Of course.
It has a lot of bipartisan support, so we are very happy.
That's great. We are human.
So you all have some... We are. Are we? Are we not AI agents?
You are not sure.
Yeah, well, this is fair. So you have some programs that are coming up, like here in the next couple of weeks. Yeah, so tell us about some of those programs.
We do. We have our walk to end Alzheimer's, our Houston walk. We have 9 walks in our chapter.
Wow.
This is the biggest one. Last year, we had 8,000 attendees.
Wow,
yes, it's at Helix Park this year.
Oh, nice.
November 8th. And if you want to come, just make sure that you register online. We require everybody to be registered.
Uh-huh. But is there a registration fee, or you just...
Nope, there's no
great.
Registration
fee. So you get
fee.
A bib or a t-shirt or something?
You get a t-shirt for fundraising $100.
Oh,
yes.
Much.
And then, of course, Do What You Love to End Alls is the fundraiser that I manage. And it's a year-round opportunity for people to turn their passion into purpose to do what they love to end Alzheimer's. So
this is like Mike, right? This is you.
Yes,
I mean, you're the best
Mike,
example.
I would love for Mike to tell y'all about his event.
Yeah, tell us.
Well, yeah, this was something, it used to be called The Longest Day.
Yes,
and it has been changed to Do What You Love. So, you know, to kick it off, like just recently, I held a screening of my documentary, Runaway Radio, at River Oaks Theater.
Mm-hmm.
And so we raise money there. It's anything that is your passion, your hobby, you can do. If you wanted to play pickleball, mahjong, and have just a game.
You're on trend. These are all the trendy things.
Absolutely. You can. I'm trying to get my wife to raise money at her mahjong game. So right now we're working on that. But, you know, it's a way to take something very positive and turn it into a positive for Alzheimer's research.
That's awesome.
Wonderful. So tell us one more time how to reach you.
Yes, you can reach me through my email, lgorman, G-O-R-M-A-N.
Great. Give it to us.
ALZ.org.
Okay.
And also, if you want to learn more about Do What You Love to End Alls, it's ALZ.org/Do What You Love.
Perfect.
And they can find all that on your main site, right?
Absolutely.
I'm sure there are tabs,
et cetera. Absolutely. You can find the walk link to register if you're interested.
So there are many ways to get involved. You can donate.
Many ways.
Go be educated so you can then help educate others.
Right.
Yes.
You can show up to any of these programs.
The walk, you can
volunteer.
Do what you love.
Yeah.
Yes, you can join the Do What You Love committee. Mike is our executive chair. So
what if somebody loves shopping? It's not me.
I'll figure that out. I'm sure there is a way.
Someone loves shopping at Target.
There could be, you know.
Target could use a community partner right now.
Please.
Their business is not so great.
After this whole DEI mess. Yes, for sure.
They've really suffered as well.
They really have. They could use some.
So if you're listening.
Maybe approach Target with
you.
You
shop
idea.
There. You're there all the time.
We had
a fashion show a couple of years ago. A group put on a fashion show.
Cool.
You can get involved with local boutiques and ask them to do a give back of purple pieces, maybe.
Absolutely.
Excellent.
Well,
thank you so much, both of you. Thank you for the work that you're doing. We appreciate it.
Yeah,
we do. We appreciate it.
It's very rewarding.
Yeah,
thank you for being here with us.
And with that, we'll be back.
Bye.
I'm high on the leaving. At Culture Club HTX, you know we want you to stay fabulous, which is why we've teamed up with Dr. Michael J. Streitman at Westlake Dermatology and Cosmetic Surgery. Dr. Streitman prides himself on delivering the gold standard of care to his clients. He's board certified and performs surgery in the private surgical suite at Westlake, as well as provides non-invasive services like Botox and fillers. If you're ready to receive the gold standard of care, make an appointment with Dr. Streitman today at westlakedermatology.com. And be sure to mention that Culture Club HTX sent you for a special treat.
You should stay focused to listening to Culture Club HTX on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Lisa Holland-Nelson and Siobhana Robert-Schreiber.
And we're back. I'm Lisa Holland-Nelson Bowman Lombardi, the fashionista bio babe.
We gave you another name, too, though. We just gave you... No, it was. It was a good one.
Elegant.
Oh, God, no. We just gave you a name. We just gave you a name earlier
Lisa
in the
Holland-Nelson,
show. Bowman Lombardi.
Sticking with such. And excited to be here with my beautiful, black, bold, bossy bestie.
Look at you. That's four, but that's fine.
That was five. Beautiful, black, bold, bossy bestie.
Don't help her. Don't help her. Oh, Siobhana Robert-Schreiber.
And my new best friend.
Yeah, there you
which
go.
I'm jettisoning you for.
Oh,
go ahead and
she
introduce
She always
yourself.
Says that. It's not happening. Siobhana Robert-Schreiber, the executive producer and co-host of Culture Club HTX and also the Eighth Wonder of the World and the parliamentarian in Police
oh,
of Lovely.
Yeah,
oh,
you been were. You yeah.
This
you
is why I keep
you try on, to keep me on track.
Try is
which
the right word.
Happen.
But we're
it's
here
impossible.
In our fashion segment,
which
her
is
favorite.
Truly my favorite.
Magical Just
I love all the segments, but as everybody knows.
So why do you keep trying to say one's your favorite?
Old fashionistas never die.
Mm.
We just transform into something else.
I think I lost my glasses.
And we
it's
have
fine.
Fabulous guests today that
Make
happen to be talented and all the things and our friends, which
Yay!
Is even better. So I'm going to introduce you with your bios because I'm the bio babe. That's what I'm going to
Is it not biology?
It's not
we
biology.
All thought it was biology.
Stop it. Oh, she just can't help herself. Magical's laughing, so we're doing really well.
She says it's biography. Now I'm like, what else would it be? Keep going.
Oh, come on.
Who's with us?
I think it sounds like biology.
Who's joining the show?
Okay. Rosalyn Bazell and Kimberly Phipps Nickel are the co-founders of Roki Design. You got that? Ra and Key. Roz and Kimberly.
Correct.
You love it? Roki. I love that. I figured that out today. A Houston-based custom silk scarf company launched in 2019. Rosalyn, a commercial real estate attorney passionate about community philanthropy, and Kimberly, a licensed interior designer with over 25 years of silk craftsmanship expertise, met through their professional ties to commercial real estate. And together they create distinctive custom scarves through three signature collections, purpose-inspired scarves supporting charitable causes, artist collaborations featuring emerging talent.
That's what I'm wearing.
An artist collab?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And how do you know that?
Because I pay yes. attention.
Okay.
Because I bought it
and
because
repurposed
it was.
And vintage pieces, transforming luxury fabrics into wearable art. I love every bit of this, which they know this already, but I love it. And I'm so excited to just learn more about how did you, well, Rosalyn, you came from corporate world.
Well, first of all, thank you all for being
everything.
Here.
Yeah.
You see why I'm the parliamentarian.
Yes, thank you for being here.
Well,
but
thank
so
you. Thank you for the invite.
And from interior design, I mean, deciding to be entrepreneurs, you sort of already were, weren't you, Kim?
Yes.
Burley.
Yes.
Kim Burley. So what inspired
me,
you to take this
longer.
Leap into entrepreneurship from yeah. these corporate careers that you had? What made you say, okay, we're going to do it?
So I initially worked on a project for an organization, and I started the design for that particular scarf just for that group, just mm-hmm. for the wives of the members of the organization mm-hmm, to mm-hmm. wear something that looked
like
alike or, you know, yeah. that gave them a certain look. Mm-hmm, and I mm-hmm. didn't want – and nobody wanted to wear the same dress or the whatever, but if I was like, what about a silk scarf? Everybody can wear it their own way.
Right.
And then as I went through the process, collaborating with the artist – and making sure that we aligned ourselves with the purpose of the organization and all of the events and everything. I fell in love with the process. I found the manufacturers. I did all the research, and I put the
first scarf
together.
I could see you doing this
together.
At, like, midnight. I could just see. I could see it.
Yes.
When else does one do it?
No, I know. Well, but especially, I'm like, what?
This
what?
One is sleeping,
I
but
know,
no one else
but
is.
Interestingly enough, even before I worked on this, I had started sort of a little bit of a podcast myself, and I had interviewed Kimberly about her love of scarves. And her vintage scarf collection and her pillows that she was making and all the things that she was making. So
it was one of those things that once I did my own design and worked on it, I was like, I know if I really want to make this real, she would be the perfect person. Yeah, and so I just took her to lunch and bribed her.
I was saying, so were you like, okay?
No. We were friends. She helped me work out and train. Like, we already had a relationship that way. And so, it was a wonderful lunch.
Well, I'm curious, and of course, off the
course.
You know, my curiosity goes to really something I'm not always curious about, but the actual production. Mm. Did you find production in Houston? Are you doing it here? Where are they being made? Are they being made in Italy or overseas?
And so, this one was made in Italy.
Different
that Siobhan is wearing.
Right? Mm-hmm.
This one was made in China, but we've had to clearly look around everywhere. So we've manufactured in China, in Italy, in England. We've tried in the United States. Unfortunately, silk production in the U.S. is just
very difficult.
Just the production of the silk itself just doesn't happen in the U.S. And then going into the next level is the printing of the silk.
Right. Yes.
So,
properly.
And the hand finishing.
And the hand finishing for the silk products.
All the things that we don't do.
And
here.
So it just doesn't happen. And so we had to look outside of the United States for that. And so if in a perfect world someday there is that availability, yes, we would do that. But for now, everything is manufactured mainly in China, but also in Italy, and then all the packaging and all the things and the artists that we select and work with primarily are U.S., but we've also ventured out. So I've worked with people in England, Russia, in the Ukraine, the
now
Philippines.
Now I want to collect all these scarves from all these artists.
From all the different artists that we work with. And so our main goal is to make sure we're highlighting within the artistry, whether it's for a purpose or it's for the artist, somebody that really needs that exposure, or taking somebody like an Angibert, the piece you're wearing, where I can't afford his pieces, right? I cannot. He sells at Sotheby's, where I now can be wearing his piece on my body in a way, and I can afford it.
Or you actually could also frame it.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
That's another passion in life.
So what about the, just one aside, so I'm pulling a lovely, who made the ballerinas?
That was Siobhan Butler. She's right here in Houston, Texas.
So
and in fact, she just chaired the Houston Arts Alliance Gala.
Oh,
and she's an amazing artist. She's
so
very social based. And it actually, I want to bring it back out and tell another story about it because it was based and inspired by Misty Copeland, who just retired.
Yes.
So that was her inspiration for the scarf. So I want to pull that one back out again and do some
my
more,
favorite.
You know, do some more marketing collab.
Can you sell more of them? Do you have more?
We do have more.
Excellent. Well, that's
great.
Exciting.
Yeah. It's a great scarf.
Mm-hmm. Practical question.
Go ahead.
I'm an organization or whatever I am, and I want to work with you. What's the lead time? How long does it take to make these? What's the minimum? I mean, like, how much do I have to buy in the first place?
Some of those are easy questions, like minimum quantities, right? We're going to tell you that you start at 100.
Okay. Good to know.
As far as timeline, there is so much that is dependent upon that, because some people will come with an artist who is already supportive of their particular initiative.
Yes.
And so there is no weeks of going back and forth between the board and all of that, right? So, because design is an iterative process.
Yes, we know.
And so if you're just diving right into it, then it comes down to where you want it produced.
Right. You choose.
Right? Yeah, because you choose. And then how you want it finished.
Okay.
And so there's a bunch of variables that can go into that.
What's the longest a scarf has ever taken you?
Probably a year.
It was a year.
Because humans are ridiculous, of course.
Humans are ridiculous, and they change their minds, or you get a newborn chair or something.
Yeah, no, I live with this. I do websites. I know exactly what you're talking about.
David Peck talks about this all the time. People are like, they can't make up their mind, and da-da-da-da. So, and you're doing everything is custom, so imagine, right?
Yeah, we are too. We love our customers, but we're never late.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's always
like we're here and the calendar's out there and we're very process driven on top of being creative. But people have to run their companies, they have
or
to run
they're
their
just ridiculous.
Yeah. Or they're just ridiculous.
But speaking of running companies, this is a fact. Speaking of running companies, you didn't say, okay, we're gonna both retire from the law and from interior design and all the other things you do. So tell us about how do you blend these two careers, this entire, like, how do you do it? Talk us through it. What's happening?
Nights and weekends is like a number one, and we've had to learn how to divide and conquer.
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
So, very important.
You figure out what, not just what your strengths are, but in the time in supporting our purpose scarf,
yes,
right? Because there's so many events that Len can go to in supporting of our purpose clients, and we want to go to all of their events all the time.
Y'all do a good job, I will say. Y'all do. I mean, I obviously I'm following you on your socials. Y'all do a good job. And then I, because Roz and I office in the same space, I'm like, this person likes your scarf, and I'm bringing people over to her office while she's trying to work.
And
like, they want to meet you.
Cheerleaders,
outside
of us,
that's very helpful.
Yes. It does help.
That's your
know.
Sales team, is it?
Yeah, no, for sure.
Without a doubt.
Exactly. Yeah.
But it's definitely a delicate balance. And the good thing is the fact that we both have both.
So yes.
We both have the business and the creative. And so I've told people before that it really helps us because when I'm focused on the creative aspect, so if I'm actually concept designing and sketching the design for a scarf, she handles all the business aspects.
Ah, okay. So you divide it even down to the project.
She's on the other side of it and she's being more creative in the design or how we're going to integrate a scarf into something else, then I'm the one that's like, okay, the agreement needs to say this. And
the lawyer comes out.
The lawyer comes out. But I love playing in the creative side when I have the opportunity to.
Yeah.
But we've learned how to play together so that we work in tandem with each other when it comes to those things. And so it really has worked out as a great balance. And for me, it gives me life. Like, I love the law and I love the things that I do and I love closing the deals, but I also love to look up at the beauty that's above my head, the stuff that's on my body, and just the joy it brings to people on a general.
For sure.
I went to lunch today with somebody I'd never met in my life, and she had no idea that I was the one who produced two of the scarves that she had in her collection.
Oh, wow.
She had no idea. Wow. We were sitting at Brasserie 19.
Oh, yeah,
and she's like, oh, yeah.
Brasserie,
you know, y'all,
right,
you like scarves? I said, yeah, I love scarves. She said, oh, I have the one for B19. I said, yeah, I know.
We know that one.
Well,
speaking of the community, so we love Brasserie 19. You all do so much. So, it's kind of like, in addition to your professional interior design, legal, Roki, you're also very involved civically.
Yes.
So talk to us about how you've brought that passion for our community and the love of our community into your creative side with Roki.
That was actually one of the founding principles.
Our first lunch.
Was one of the founding reasons I created it, right? So I love scarves.
Yeah.
I think we all do. And as I developed and created partnerships with other organizations before and worked on their fundraisers, of course, I go where I shop. Where I shop, I have some level of expectation at some point, please help me support the organizations that I love here in the city. And I just was seeing a difference in how that looked depending on the organization. And I just didn't understand why they couldn't give more and why they couldn't do things a certain way. And I understand a lot of them are big corporate, so I get it. But I felt like, why can't we blend all of this? Why can't we give artists an opportunity? Why can't we give organizations an opportunity to benefit from this? Why can't we create awareness for the organizations?
Which is, I think, great.
And why can't we do all of these things all in one organization and company so that we check all our boxes? Because for me, if I don't have a passion for it and there's no purpose behind it and there's no storytelling within it, I'm not doing it.
Well, and lovely, this makes me think about something that you always say. If the reason that looking, dressing well and looking good is important is because if people don't look at you, they're not going to talk to you. Well, if you're wearing a Roki scarf and it's beautiful, people are going to notice it. And then it gives you an opportunity to say, oh, yeah, this is Roki and this is the organization or the artist, whatever. So it creates, it basically feeds two birds with one seed. Excellent. Yes. So I feel like there's something next. I feel like there's some new thing. I just do. I don't know why.
She's just got to.
Tell me more.
I do. I'm like that. I just have a knowing. I just feel like. So you've been in business for how many years now?
So for
Roki.
We started in 2015.
Five, yes, it's 5 years.
So six years.
Well, so six, we're right now in the sixth year, right? So I feel like there is, I just do.
Of course. There's a lot of opportunities.
So what's next? Come on, talk to us.
So we have a lot of things in mind. We're just working on a lot of different projects and clearly relationships to see where we can form partnerships with artists and things. And I mean, even from an artist standpoint, we've even done white labeling for artists, right?
Oh,
and so you may be buying scarves from an artist out there.
Oh,
and we actually produced it. And so we've done that as well.
So if I'm an artist, okay, so this is something maybe, right? Just thought of it right now. If I'm an artist and I'm listening and I'm thinking, oh, I have this beautiful design.
Yes.
And now that I have a vision that it can be made into a wearable piece of art, can I submit it to you just for your consideration? So how does one do that?
They just send us an email. info@rokidesign.com, and we're happy to take a look at it. And either if we can't take it on ourselves, then maybe they want to just get it done. If
they're
going to different art shows and things,
yes.
We've done that in the past.
Yes.
And again, it's just an opportunity for them to have it in a different manner and mm-hmm. a different price point that mm-hmm. may be more acceptable to their audience.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, it keeps them doing what they're doing, mm-hmm. which is being an artist.
Right.
Right. And then let us take that off your plate.
Right.
Let us just handle the manufacturing, the packaging, and we just deliver it to you and try to make it as easy as possible.
Mm-hmm. So if you're an artist and you're listening to this, I say submit your work. Seriously, I have a friend who's a makeup artist and she always looks fabulous. She says, because this is my billboard. Right. So if you're an artist and a visual artist and you have a piece that you love, that you would give the person you love the most, consider having it made into a scarf. And you also do silkies, and it's not just you do scarves in multiple sizes, so there are lots of opportunities because then you artists can wear your work.
That's so right. We're gonna have a fashion question here.
Yes,
popped up to me.
Fashion question, let's go.
Let's talk about silkies and let's talk about wrapping your handbag.
Oh, yes.
And all of these trends, where did they actually come from? How did this all start?
Somebody started doing it. Start taking pictures of it.
So who started doing it?
So in terms of the silkies themselves, and just so you know, the audience is aware, right?
Sure.
So Hermes makes twillies, right? But they have trademarked that, and I'm an attorney, so therefore we won't use that term.
Yep.
We came up with our own. So ours are called silkies.
Right.
They're generally the similar dimensions. Mm-hmm. And the reason they started wrapping them around the purses is because the lotion...
Yeah, the handbag starts to mess up the strap.
On our hands, ruins the handle.
Especially if you think, like, on the Louis Vuitton bags, where it starts to change color.
Yeah, well, my Hermes bag, I had to get redone 3 times.
Exactly.
You need a silky.
Well, I didn't carry anything else for 3 years.
Right.
But it would help.
And initially, in my mind, was used just for those purposes, to protect the leather, but it has become a whole thing.
It's a whole thing.
It's very decorative.
Yeah.
And I put
even
different
the little
silkies.
One. I know you were part of this one.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's got a silky.
Exactly.
Silky
it's like, but it's become a whole thing where it's a part of, it's an accessory to your entire outfit. And so I add them on to blend with, match with, highlight some of our
Is there
our
a magic
pieces.
Way to tie them?
Well, we have to go to a break because we're over time.
Oh,
so
darn.
Website is?
RokiDesign.com.
R-O-K-I.
And info@RokiDesign.com. And that means we have to have you back on.
Yeah.
So we should have you back on to do like a demonstration.
And figure fashion.
Yeah. Like,
we're going to show you how to tie this.
Yeah. I think a demonstration would be great.
Yeah.
Okay. That's what we'll do. We'll do a salon and we'll do.
Perfect.
Okay. I got an idea. Okay. But with that, we're going to take a break and we'll be back. Thank you so much.
We're not taking a break.
No, we're over.
This is the end of the show. Thank you, Michael, for keeping.
Oh,
magical,
please,
Michael.
Please,
sorry.
I had to even get us
You're
on track.
You're the one who was saying we'll be right back. So stop it.
No,
hello.
You say elegant. You say bold.
We want you to stay elegant.
No, you say bold.
Am I saying all of it?
No, you say bold because that's B.
Oh, stay bold.
Stay elegant.
Stay focused.
Stay fit.
And stay fabulous.
I quit arguing
we'll
with you.
We'll be back next week.
See you later. Bye. And
I love listening to Siobhana and me talk about all the things every Sunday here. Do you ever wish you could see what we're laughing about so much? Especially what Magical's laughing about? You're in luck. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and see the fun clips and outtakes from the show, as well as our super special series, Friends by the Fireplace, that we release every Friday. Finding us on YouTube is easy breezy. Type Culture Club HTX and voila, you're in.